April 19th, 2021. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Bet, and we're 17 lines from the top. Very briefly, the context. If you recall, there was a fellow, his name was Barahama. We read about him on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. He allegedly murdered. There were two witnesses as to that circumstance of his wrongdoing. Those two witnesses, as they arrive in court, were met by other witnesses who invalidated each of them. Each of them was invalidated and found to be a pasul ed. For what reason? Each of them for stealing something. In such a circumstance, Barhama now feels that he's let off the hook, right? He's feeling good about himself. The Dayan at the time is not so certain about that. He says, what do you think? There happens to be a mahlok between a biyose and a bimeir about this particular circumstance. It's what we had been dealing with beforehand in the context of Abaye and Rava, of mumar ha'ochel nevelot lehach'is. Leave that out of the way for now. What's the mahlok between a biyose and a bimeir? It's about in the following circumstance. If you're found to be invalid, you're pasul edut, in a circumstance of dine mamonot. In other words, it's a financial issue we have with you. You stole, and as a result, or you're involved with business deals that make us nervous. You're a gambler, you're a malveri beat, and so forth. In that circumstance, you're certainly invalidated. You're found to be pasul for dine mamonot. Are you also for dine nefashot? Are you also invalidated to testify in a higher level case, a case in which you're dealing with life and death of an individual or several people? That's a mahloket, says Rabbi Meir, in such a circumstance, that's right, you're invalidated for dine mamonot, you're in turn invalidated for everything, we're not going to accept you for dine nefashot either. Rabbi Yose, in contrast, says it's not so. You might be invalidated for the lower level issues, on that, okay, you didn't take those things seriously. You're dealing with life and death, over there we don't suspect that you're lying. So in turn, the Dayan, Rabbi Abba, I think was his name, turns to Bar Haman and says, you think the halakha is like Rabbi Meir? Halakha is always like Rabbi Yose. And since halakha is like Rabbi Yose, these witnesses, they might be pasul for other financial issues. Your case, I'm sorry, we're going to have to accept them. Rav Pape, the Gemara says, jumps up and comes to the defense of Bar Hama. He says, absolutely not. In general, we're posek la halakha and a mahlok Rabbi Yose and a bimeir like Rabbi Yose. In this particular circumstance, since we have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Meir, it's different. Says the Gemara, what's a stam mishnah? Stam mishnah is a circumstance where the mishnah or beraita gives you the opinion without stating who said it. Why would you do so? So we always mention names in Mishnayot and Beraitot. The reason you would do so is because the editor, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, would be telling you halachas like this. Don't get into who said it, who didn't say it. Halachas like this, I don't even need to mention the name. Said the Gemara, where's that Sita Mishnah? The Gemara suggested it was that case in Masechet Nidah. The Gemara disproved that. That's what we're up to. So we're in the last segment, last leg of the race over here. What's the Stam Mishnah in which we see halachas like Rabbi Meir, and in turn, Bar Hama can walk out scot-free from this case? Very briefly, before we start that, just parenthetically, if you recall, when the Resh Galuta is convening this case of Bar Hama, he says, you should know, if he's found to be Vadai, a murderer, what are you going to do to him? You should poke out his eyes, right? That was the Lashon of the Gemara. Rashi had three interpretations, that's what it meant. The first of those interpretations we paid a particular attention to. Rashi says it's mamash. It means to say, you're going to blind him. We were bothered a little bit by that. You're going to blind him? Who gave you the authority to blind? You're not allowed to be dealing with dine nefashot, Rashi seems to be suggesting, but you're going to be allowed to blind him? Says Rivash, Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Sheshat, it appears from this Gemara that even after the disbanding of Sanhedrin, we can still put people to death. Why could you stop? What are you talking about? Maybe you could blind them. You're allowed to put people to death? Rivash, who's living 700 years ago or so, he's dealing with the case and he's granting the ability to Dayanim of his time period to put people to death. There's a particular case in which someone is suspected of murdering and so forth, and that's what he says based on this Gemara. Isn't that an amazing thing? This Gemara, where it's a parenthetic point. Why so? He says the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zaran Daf Kaf Chet says that it's so dangerous to blind a person, it can lead to their death. He says, well, if we're granting permissibility to the courts after the disbanding of Sanhedrin to blind, It appears as if they can even put to death. That's Rivash's claim. Maran Rabbi Yosef Karo and his Beit Yosef deliberates on this matter. Ultimately speaking, it's never too simple. Tumim Rabbi Yonatan Eibshitz, who lives several hundred years later, he says, are you kidding me? Are you familiar with how we blind people today? We don't take their eyes and grab it out and have all the blood come out and so forth and deal with the nerves. We put some sort of metal in front of them, or maybe a glass of some sort, and you blind them in such a fashion. We have a non-dangerous way of doing so. Maybe that's what the Gemara was referring to as well. You can't bring any proofs. As I told you, however, there's a book by Simcha Asaf. It's called Ha'onashim La'achar Hatimat HaTalmud, which means to say what he details in that book. I can't find it any longer, but I own it somewhere. I think I have two editions of it. Anyway, what he does in it is he details from the time of the Rishonim all the way through several hundred years ago, not too long ago, we were in our small communities putting people to death with the authority that we understood was still granted to us. Okay, back to our sugya. So says the Gemara, so what is the stem Mishnah in which Rabbi Meir's opinion becomes apparent? What's Rabbi Meir's opinion? That even if you're pasul in Dinei Mamonot, you will be pasul in Dinei Nefashot as well. Ela, second word on this line, how many lines? 17 lines on top, I already forgot. Ela hachak kasatemlan. Rather, it's the following Mishnah which will be able to look at and understand Rabbi Meir's opinion is shining through. How so? Tiditnan, as the Mishnah teaches, Elohen hapsulin. The following are the cases of psulin. This is our Mishnah. Would you know it? Eddie, you wanted to know the relevance? Here it is. The final line over here will be our Mishnah. Hamisachek bekubya. We dealt with each of these cases. The gambler. Umalve berbit, and those who lend with interest. Umafriheyonim. Okay, it's one of two circumstances, people involved inappropriately with monetary stuff. So Hareshevi'it, we dealt with as well, people who are dealing with Shemitah produce in the wrong fashion. Veha'avadim, and then the Mishnah concludes, we didn't really have this, and we didn't pay attention to this. Zehakelal, here's the principle. Kol edut she'en ha'isha kesherala, af hen en kesherina. Any matter in which a woman is invalidated for testifying, so too all the ones we just listed are invalidated as well. Let's pause for a second. A woman is invalidated from pretty much every testimony, both financial matters and life and death matters, right? That's the woman's status. For one reason or another, we'll deal with it when we get to the Makor and the Gemara. That's the status of a woman. Let's think about these cases again. They were all dealing with financial, mamonot, improprieties. It's people who are mishandling money in our eyes. That says the Mishnah, they're not only invalid, they're not only pasul for dine mamonot, they're pasul for anything that a woman's invalid for, which means to say, even dine nefashot. You see, our Mishnah of all places is the Stam Mishnah, which makes clear that Rabbi Meir is the primary opinion. As Mane, who's the author of this Mishnah? Ilema, compound word. Im Tomar, if you'll say, Ilema, Rabbi Yosef, if you could tell me that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef, Veha'ikav, Hare Yesh, Edut, B'dinei Nefashot, She'ena Isha Kshera La, Vehen Kesherin La. According to Rabbi Yosef, although these guys might be invalidated, might be pasul for dinei mamonot, for financial issues. That's what they did wrong. Dinei nefashot, they would be kosher. Elalav, rather, this Mishnah, our Mishnah is Rabbi Meiri. Okay, that's it. Barhama is found to be acquitted. He's ready to go. Barhama in the case which we were dealing with, Barhama stands, gets up, he stands up. Nashke akar'e. He kisses the feet of Rav Pape, who's the one who found the proof for him that halakha is like Rabbi Meir, the kibele le karge de kule shane. And he accepted the karge. Karge refers to the taxes. He accepted the taxes of Rav Pape for the rest of his life, for all the years of his life. Which again, as I mentioned this earlier, I told you this was the final punchline over here. It's a little bothersome nonetheless. In other words, the punchline I get, but Barhama is now giving that treat to Rav Pape. Maybe it looks wrong for Rav Pape to accept it. Okay, you have to deal with the circumstance. Certainly Rav Pape didn't know it was coming. We have to assume this wasn't what inspired him to find the halakha in such a fashion. We're not suspecting him of accepting any sort of bribery or something of that fashion. But ultimately speaking, that's what the Gemara says, is the reaction of Barhama. Okay, we arrive at the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah brings us to furthermore cases in which people are invalid or psulim, they're Edut. We've been dealing with wrongdoings. Now we're going to deal with relationships. We're well aware, because of weddings, for lack of any other circumstances, that if you're karob, if you're related to one another, you're not allowed to be witnesses. And if you're related to the people or person about whom you're testifying, you're not allowed to be a witness either. What's the definition of related? And in turn, where do we derive these things from? Says the Mishnah, ve'elu hen hakrobin. The following is a list of relatives. Ahiv, okay, brother. Ahi Aviv, uncle from your father, your father's brother. Ahi Immo, your father, your mother's brother, your uncle that way. Uba'al Ahoto, your brother-in-law, meaning married to your sister. Uba'al Ahot Aviv, and your father's sister's a husband, uncle in such a fashion. Uba'al Ahot Immo, and your mother's sister's husband, your uncle in such a fashion. Uba'al Immo, even if your mother is remarried to another man, that's Ba'al Immo, you're as a result his stepson, right? Your stepfather. Hamiv means your father-in-law. Giso, what's Giso? Giso refers to brother-in-law. Your brother-in-law. In what fashion is it your brother-in-law? Writes Rashi, Giso, Ba'al Ahot Ishto, it's your wife's sister's husband, indeed. Hin, all of those whom we just mentioned, they, Ubnehin, and their sons, Vahatanehim, and even their son-in-laws, are all Pesulim. Furthermore, Vehorgo Levado. However, a stepson, it's only the stepson who's invalid to testify about his stepfather. His children, his son-in-laws, they're all kosher. There's no blood relation. It's just the son-in-law to his the stepson to his stepfather, he and only he is invalidated. That's the list of Pesulim, Mishum Korba. That's it. Brother-in-law is not blood related, but he's married to a blood relative, and as a result, we invalidate in such a fashion because the children and so on. So says the Mishnah, Amar Biyose, Zo Mishnah Terbi Akiva. That list, which we just delineated, is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. You should know, prior to Rabbi Akiva, we were a little bit more lenient. Aval Mishnah Rishona, literally, the first teaching. In other words, the way that this halakha used to exist before Rabbi Akiva went as follows. Dodo, Uben dodo vechol haraui leyorsho, period. It was specifically your uncle, your cousin, and anyone else who is relevant to inheritance. It's they and only they who are invalidated. Who are we excluding in this as a result? Writes Rashi. In other words, what does it mean? Again, Rabbi Akiva gave us a long list. Now we have Mishnah Rishona, a little bit more simple. It goes your uncles and your cousins and anyone who can inherit you. Writes Rashi, who can inherit you? Dahainu, I'm at Rashi, it's about 20 lines from the bottom of the left-hand side. Dahainu kerobe ha'av. We're referring to the relatives from your father's side. Aval kerobe ha'em. However, in terms of inheritance, when it comes from your mother's side, kigon, for example, ahi imo, the brother of your mother, your uncle in such a fashion, kasherlo, shahare eno ra'ui leyorsho. Your uncle from your mother can testify about you because he cannot inherit you. And the understanding in turn is, according to Mishnah Rishona, this was all financially inspired. The only reason a karob is pasul, according to Mishnah Rishona, is because you might be testifying positively so that you can take their money, so that they hold on to their money, so that after their death you'll have a stake in the inheritance. Rashi goes on to point out that as the nephew, ironically, you can't testify about your mother's brother nonetheless. Why not? Because you'll inherit him, even though he won't inherit you. Okay, but according to Mishnah Rishona, there was a little bit more leniency. The particulars of this that are relevant we'll deal with in the Gemara.
Even Hotano, if he marries his daughter, he's not allowed because the girl doesn't get Yerushalayim.
Indeed, because
what
of the daughter.
What does Mishnah Rishona mean compared to a regular Mishnah?
You'll see this rarely in the Gemara. You see at the beginning of Masechet Ketubot in one place, rarely in one or two other places that come to mind. Rarely the Mishnah will reveal to us that this took time to develop. So the Mishnah is telling us this is the final word. It's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Prior to Rabbi Akiva, his rabbis, they had a different tradition, and this is how they used. to teach. That's it. It's instead of saying Rabbi Tarfon Omer or something like that, it's telling us this is the earlier tradition. Nothing more.
Nobody argued in the past, and Rabbi Akiva came and.
Or maybe they argued, and this was the punchline, and Rabbi Akiva reversed it. Something along those lines. Yeah, that's the Mishnah.
And it's only financial. So if the person that's in trial is an ani, I'm just saying, and he has nothing to be inherited, none of this would apply.
We wouldn't go that far.
No.
No, because we would say that once it's a financially inspired circumstance, although the particulars don't plug in, it's invalidated. Says the Mishnah in its concluding words, V'chol ha-karob lo be'ota sha'ah. And you should understand the way we deal with this matter is that they need to be karob, they need to be related to you at that time. At what time? Explains Rashi, both the time of witnessing and the time of, or the time of, testifying. Either one is problematic. Maybe they were related then they got divorced, and now I'm testifying. Doesn't matter. The fact that there was a relation then skews your ideas on this matter. And so, okay, so that's the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. Haya karob v'nitrahek. What if he was a relative and then divorced? Hareze kasher. In such a circumstance, it's kosher. Now, that means that the divorce was before even the witnessing, right? No, it's not in between. Again, one more time. It has to be, you were once related to me, you divorced out of the family, and then I saw you do something. That's when I'm kosher to testify about you. However, if you were related to me, I witnessed something, you then divorced out of the family, and now I'm testifying, I'm invalid to do so. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu meta bito, v'yesh lo banim mimena, Hareze karob. In such a circumstance, says Rabbi, you should know even if your daughter passes away, well, who do you have? A son-in-law who's no longer really related to you because your daughter's no longer alive, but you have children from her. Hareze karob. Why is that karob? Because the children still bind you to her, to the son-in-law. In other words, the son-in-law is technically speaking not related to you any longer, but his children bind him to you. As a result, that's considered karob. Okay, we'll have opportunity to discuss some of these in the Gemara. The Mishnah now concludes with two last cases, hasone, ohev. These are two, ohev v'hasone, period. The last two of the circumstances are someone who truly loves you and someone who truly hates you, both invalidated, or someone you truly love, someone you truly hate. How are we defining these words? I mean, they're not a relative. How do you define love or hate? Explains the Mishnah, we'll objectify it. Ohev ze shoshvino. And ohev is someone who's a shushvano or shushvino. Shushvino refers to the, I guess we would call it groomsmen. It's the people who deal with Yabazra, the people who deal with the lead up and the celebration of the wedding. And it's specifically during that time period. It's not just that he's your groomsman then and for life or he's your best friend. It's got to be, explains Rashi, during that time period of the shiduch, of the wedding, of the sheva berachot, that's when he's invalidated. What's the idea again? It's that his judgment, your judgment, will be skewed one to the other. Why is it skewed? Well, I love him so much, I'm not able to see things differently. What if it's in order to make them lose money? Maybe then you're a kosher. Jared would, the argument is still not. Because I might be dealing with him losing money, but I'll still skew things. I'll make him lose a little less money. In other words, we can't trust you. Who's a sone? Who certainly we suspect sone. Kol shelo diber imo shelosha yamim be'eva. If you learned Masechet Makot, you remember sone, right? V'hu lo sone lo mitemo shilshom. It's a person who for 3 days has not spoken to you, but mi'eva. It's because of hatred. It's not heke. I didn't have a chance to talk to you. I've been so busy. It's out of it stems from a source of hatred. That's a soneh. The response to Rabbi Yehuda, who's now invalidating a ohev and a soneh, amru lo, lo nechshedu Yisrael al kach. Oh, come on. We're not going to suspect Am Yisrael by lying about a circumstance or skewing their judgment because of love or hatred. Kirobim? Certainly. Well, that we know. And we'll derive that from the Torah. The Chachamim turn to Rabbi Yehuda, however, and they say, we disagree with you. On Ohev Esone, we'll deal with this as well in the Gemara. Okay, first things first, says the Gemara, what's the source, the general source? You told us in the Mishnah, Kirobim are Pesulim Leha'id. I explained to you, maybe you're close, you have monetary, okay, but you need a source in the Torah. We're not just going to invalidate Heke, says the Gemara, Minah Haneh Mileh. Minah Haneh, compound word, Minah, from where? Haneh, these, Mileh, these words. What's the source for kerubim being pesulim? Ditanu rabbanan, it's a beraita. Lo yumetu avot albanim. The pasuk says, well, I'll read it to you in its entirety. Lo yumtu avot albanim, ubanim lo yumtu al avot. Ish behet'o yumatu. The pasuk describes not dying the fathers on the sons. I'm very literal, and not dying or killing the sons on the fathers. What's that a reference to? What does it mean on the father, on the son? Al means on, right? Matalmud lomar. What's the pasuk telling me? I mean, it's an interesting description. It's in Sefer Devarim. It's Moshe speaking these words from God. What do they mean? Matalmud lomar. Im lelamed shelo yumetu avot ba'avon banim ubanim ba'avon avot. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is quite basic. It goes like this. Children won't die because of the sins of their fathers, and fathers won't die because of the sins of their children. Maybe that's what those words mean. Again, lo yumtu avot al banim, ubanim lo yumtu al avot. So that's what the pasuk said. What is it? Hang on, you're a few lines ahead in the Gemara. We have a different question first. Says the Gemara, if that's what the pasuk means to say, hare kedar ne'emar, look at the last words. It's redundant in the pasuk. Ish behet o yumatu. The end of the pasuk is, each person dies by their own wrongdoing. So it can't be that the beginning of the pasuk is talking about not dying from the sins of someone else. The end of the pasuk tells me that. So what did the earlier words in the pasuk mean? We understand that. In other words, we're not willing to accept the pasuk is redundant. This first segment, lo yumatu. And second segment, ish behet o yumatu. You'll die by your own sin. Last part of the pasuk. What does the first part of the pasuk mean? Rather, it must be referring to not dying with the sins of the other, but rather through the testimony of the other, right? Which is really what we're talking about. Ela, rather, says the Mishnah, lo yumtu avot al banim be'edut banim. And secondly, ubanim lo yumtu al avot be'edut avot be'edut avot ubanim. Excuse me, ubanim. One more time. Lo yumtu avot al banim be'edut banim. Ubanim lo yumtu al avot be'edut avot. Period. Right? So the Beraita concludes one more time. The pasuk is split into two. Second half of the pasuk, you will die, Jesse's question notwithstanding, you will die by your own sin. Great. What's the first half of the pasuk? Not dying on your father, not dying on your son. It's a reference to their testimony. You can't die based on their testimony. Period. Chalas, it's easy enough. Of course, we have to deal with Jesse's question. Jesse said, the Torah tells us in Parashat Ki Tisa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's poked avon avot, al banim, al bnei banim, al shilishim, al rebi'im. We have several generations in which, for your wrongdoing, your descendants are going to pay. So that first, that last segment of the pasuk, what's that?
It's not that.
Oh, really? That's how you're distinguishing, Sammy? That's how you want to go? I don't know. Poked avon avot, except for death? New perush. Says the Gemara, ubanim ba'avon avot, lo? Question mark. Okay, I got your source on Kerovim. But you mentioned something interesting in there. You told me that I don't die based on the sins of my father. Is that really so? The Hakitiv, doesn't the pasuk say, as Jesse quoted to us, after Moshe, of course, is dealing with the second Luchot, and he gets the 13 Midot Shel Rahamim, one of the references is Poked Avon Avot Albanim. Poked means to remember, Avon Avot, the iniquity, the wrongdoing of the fathers, Albanim, onto the children. So I'm utterly confused just from a perspective of Torah. How does the Torah work? How does my judgment from God work? Do I get punished for my father's wrongdoing, or is it only ish behet o yumatu? In other words, this contradiction in the text of the Torah, nothing to do with rabbinic interpretation. Answers the Gemara that the resolution to that contradiction is hatam keshe ohazin ma'ase avotehen biyadehen. The circumstance of that pasuk in Shemot Perek Lamedalet of Poked Avon Avot Albanim is Keshe Ohazin, when they're holding on to, when they're continuing in the sin of their father. In other words, in general, if you're a good guy and your father was a sinner, you're not going to be punished for that. If you continued in the wrong path of your father, that's when you're not only punished for your own wrongdoing, but for your father's as well. That's the resolution of the Gemara, that's Peshat in the words. How could that make sense? That's him it. I got the double whammy. I understand ish behet o yumatu. I die based on my own wrongdoing. I understand I even resolved the contradiction, but now I'm just left with the moral question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes in such a fashion. One of two approaches that I'm familiar with. One approach goes as follows. It says, listen, this is not about a punishment per se to get you back for what you did. It's a punishment which is going to rectify, which is going to fix. If something's so entrenched within you because your father did it and you do it as well, you're going to need the double whammy. If you want to pull out of this, you're going to have more of a punishment to really cleanse you of this. In other words, if I just did this once, I didn't learn this in my parents' household, then I did it. It takes a little bit of a, you know, slap me on the wrist and I get back in line. That's how I learned. If alternatively, this is what I'm entrenched in, this is what I'm conditioned to do, to get me out of this, you need to send me to a program. You need to get me really involved in this. That's kishe ohazina ma'ase avotehim b'yedehim. Alternatively, if I'm not mistaken, Ibn Ezra in his Perush al HaTorah has a different interpretation to this. And his interpretation goes something along the lines of, he says, listen, it doesn't make sense and we can't accept that you're going to be punished in such a fashion for your father's wrongdoing. However, it goes like this. If your father sinned, we're not now going to look at you as the child and punish you for your father's wrongdoing. But, I have to look up the Ibn Ezra again. I forgot. I'll look it up right after. Okay, we'll look up Ibn Ezra. We'll return to that. I forgot exactly how he speaks this out. But, all right, to be continued on Ibn Ezra. Continues the Gemara, and it explains this further. Kiddetanya, as the Beraita says, Va'af ba'avonot avotam itam yimaku. I think is how you read this, right? Va'ab avonot avotam itam yimaku. Right. So the pasuk describes, and also, and furthermore, for the wrongdoings of the forefathers, yimaku, you'll be cleansed. In other words, you'll be punished. Says the beraita, kesho hazin ma'ase avotehem b'yedehem. The reference is to when you continue in the wrongdoing of your forefathers. Atau meksho hazin mo'eno ela keshe eno hazin. Maybe you get punished even if you didn't continue in the way of your forefather. Ksho mer ish b'chito yumatu harekshu hazin ma'ase. So says the dirasha in this beraita. It says, listen, the end of the pasuk tells you, you get punished for your own wrongdoing. How is it that you get punished for your father's wrongdoing when you hold on to his way? Velo, says the Gemara, is that really so? The Haketiv, wait a second, we have a reference elsewhere. Again, we're still in the same issue. We put aside our primary issue of, how do I know Kirubim or Pesulim le'edut? And we're focused now instead on, how do I know that you only get punished for what you did and not for what someone else, your forefather, did? So we gave an explanation, we dealt with the contradiction. Now says the Gemara, I'm still not convinced. I think you get punished for someone else's wrongdoing. Really? What's the source for that?
That considered honest.
What's that?
Why isn't the son considered honest?
We do have such a concept of tinok shenishba, which means to say a person who's born into a wrongdoing family, we don't judge them in that circumstance. Obviously, we're talking about a situation in which he has the proper education to do better. There's no question. For example, what Sammy's referring to, in context of today, oftentimes, almost always, we'll give aliyot, we'll be involved, we'll listen to kiddush of people who are mehalele Shabbat. But wait a second, he's mehalel Shabbat. How am I allowed to do so? If anything, not only can I not be yoseh with his beracha, the wine he's touching is like a non-Jew touches that wine. There are many tishubot, Chacham Avadia Yosef being one of the last of them to address this matter, but it's addressed on a consistent basis, who suggest, listen, this is not as a result of rebellious, what we'd called earlier, mumar lehachis, someone who's out to get God. It's a person who was brought up in a society, in a home, in a circumstance in which they're led astray based on their passions and desires, and they don't have the proper education. It's in She'elot Teshubot Binyan Sion, written by Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. He's writing in Germany 200 or so years ago. It's a time and period during which people are beginning to get involved in the outside world. Germany in the Ashkenazic world was very much secluded for many years, and then there's Haskalah, there's this birth of Jewish enlightenment, and he's writing about this case exactly. He's talking about when someone wants to be yoseh with the kiddush and touch the wine, someone else who's mehalil Shabbat, says Rabbi Ettlinger in his Binyan Sion, he says, wait a second, you're telling me the person who's saying kiddush is rebellious against God? He's rebelling purposefully, he's saying kiddush, he's saying zechel ma'aseh bereshit, zechel yisiyam Yisrael. He's talking about the greatness of God, he's understanding why we're keeping Shabbat, and he's not keeping Shabbat. That's ones. Okay, we say it's tinok shenishba. So there's no question, Sammy, when the Gemara refers to these matters, it's referring to someone who has the education and is still continuing. But says the Gemara v'haketiv, the pasuk says in Vayikra v'kashelu ish be'ahiv kimipnei chere v'rodef ayin v'lo tiyeh lachem tekuma lifnei oyvechem. Wrong pasuk. Yes, okay. V'kashelu ish be'ahiv, says the pasuk. The pasuk says that you will trip, you will be, you'll falter one person with the other, or as a result of the other. This is in Parashat Bechukotai, if I'm not mistaken. This is in the Kelalot. Again, the pasuk says, I'll trip, I'll falter because of you. Not you. Because of him. What does that mean? So it means somehow he's going to take me down? Says the Beraita, Ish ba'avon ahiv. Excuse me, the pasuk says, V'kashelu ish be'ahiv, and ish ba'avon ahiv melabed shekulan arevim ze baze. Wait a second. The statement over here is, you will fall, you'll be punished, ba'avon ahiv, by the wrongdoing of someone else, as follows. I will be punished because this guy on the side of me sinned. That's what the pasuk says, according to the rabbis. Wait a second. You told me a second ago, ish be'ahito yumatu. Which one is it? Do I get punished because of you or not? Says this beraita, says this derasha, kol Yisrael arevim ze baze. What does it mean, kol Yisrael arevim ze? The word arev means a guarantor, right? That's what it means. And as a result, we are all responsible one for the other. The statement over here, in the most basic sense, is if you sin, I am in trouble. If I sin, you're in trouble. Well, that's, what's that? That's a pretty strong statement. It's telling me that I get punished if you do wrong. What do I do with the pasuk ish b'chato yumatu? Do I get punished based on myself or based on you? I'm a guarantor for you. Beautiful statement.
It's
a statement over here. It's v'kashelu ish be'ahiv. I'm gonna falter because of you. Answers the Gemara. Hatam sheya haya biyadam limhot velo mihu. Says the Gemara, that circumstance in the Kelalot is I had the opportunity, the possibility to set you straight. I could have been moheh, and I didn't do so. For that, I get punished. Oh, it's heke, you sinned, I'm not punished. You're my next door neighbor, and I see you, and I didn't try to stop you. For that, I get punished. It's a bold and strong statement of the Chachamim, but it goes even further than that on the positive end. This is the negative end. The negative end is, kol Yisrael arevim ze baze, which means to say, if you did wrong and I could have stopped you, it's on me. Goes further than that on the positive end. For example, the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chavtet deals with the following question, Yasa Mosi or Yasa Eno Mosi. In other words, I say Kiddush in my home on Friday night. I finish saying Kiddush. I had a little bit of a meal. And I go now to my parents' house. And my parents' house, for whatever reason, they're not able to say Kiddush. They ask me, could you say Kiddush for us? I said, I already was Yosei. I can't. I'm sorry. I heard Havdalah and Knis, and I didn't have in mind not to be Yosei. I was Yosei with the Havdalah and Knis. I make my way home. My wife turns to me. She says, could you say Havdalah for me? What's the halacha in those circumstances? Yasa Mosi. That's what the Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtet. Wait a second, how does that work? You already fulfilled it. You can't now do it again. Bracha levatala. Kol Yisrael arevim ze baze, says Rashi. Since I'm responsible for you, it's as if I'm saying it for myself. But I already was Yotzeh. But Kol Yisrael arevim ze baze. Furthermore, it comes up in the following context. Magen Abraham, Sheilat Yavetz, talk about this. If you've ever seen a chuppah, most of us, been under the chuppah. That's right. Not Jack yet. But we've all been under the chuppah. Under the chuppah, what happens is at the very beginning, the Misader Kiddushin, the officiator, picks up a cup of wine, and says, Borei Pri Hagef, and some says, Besamim, and then he says, Akshay Kiddushan Sota, Visivanu Al Ha'ariot, Ve'aser Lanu Ta'arusot, and so forth. It's called Birkat Erusin. Are you familiar with what that Beracha is? It's Akshay Kiddushan Sota, Visivanu. It's called the Birkat Mitzvah. Birkat Erusin. The rabbi, the officiator, saying a Beracha for the Hatan and Kala, Haram. They have to make that beracha. It's their beracha. I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah. I'm just officiating. I'm already married. They're getting married. I'm saying a beracha when I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah for them. It's a crazy thing. We don't do that anywhere else in halacha. I can't say, I'm standing next to you. You want to shake your lulav. Say, Rabbi, I don't know the beracha. So, okay, just listen to me and be yosei. And I'm just sitting here and enjoying myself. And I say the beracha for you. Who ever heard of such a thing? Of course, we tell the hatan and kala, don't say baruch hu, baruch shemo, you're going to be yosei. How are we making that beracha? Don't. Have the Hatan do it. My father told me he officiated not too long ago. Someone in the Knis, and the son did it. He made the Beracha. It's interesting. I've never seen that. But, says She'elat Ya'avetz, based on Magen Avram, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. Technically speaking, you're stretching it too far. We don't find that anywhere else in Halakha. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, leave it. Hanach Lehem Yisrael. This is the way we do it. And as a result, this concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh is not only in the negative, which we're seeing in the Gemara, of you'll be punished, by positive as well. More than anything, as Jesse says, it's a sense of responsibility which we have one for the other. To conclude, the Mishnah told us the long list of Kirovim HaPesulim Da'edut. The Gemara told us that's derived from the Pasuk of Lo Yumtu Avot Al Banim, Lo Yumtu Banim Al Avot. In turn, the Gemara says, what does it mean Ish Behet'o Yumatu? It means you die for your own wrongdoing. The Gemara takes a little bit of a digression just for today and says, is that really so? Says the Gemara, under most circumstances. However, if you continue in your father's ways, double whammy. And secondly, if you don't set straight someone who you have the opportunity to do so, you'll be punished for that as well. Baruch Adonai Amen. Amen. Amen.